stories to tell. Well, actually, I pastored for about 30 years in Kentwood Meadow Springs Church, and I remember when Mark was working at the appliance store and said, I have a vision to see this work get started in our small mission church in Kentwood. He said, we'd love to see what we can do to help. So we commissioned Presbytery and we provided oversight back in the day. And so, so thankful for what God has been doing in your midst. Continue to pray for you as well. So praise God. Well, when my boys were little, and maybe some of you have children or grandchildren, you can relate to this, we would play a game. And I'd ask my boys, I'd say, how much do you love me? How much do you love your dad? And I would kind of like, this much? And, you know, they would laugh. They'd say, no, this much. And then they'd wrap their arms around me and give me a big old hug. Well, how much would you say God loves you? I know most of you are probably believers. And you might not have thought about that for a while, right? How much does God love you? Is it this much? Is it to the moon and back? Is it to infinity and beyond? Why don't you turn with me in the book of Jonah today? I won't be here next week. Pastor Alan Followers will be here, and I'll join you the next 2 weeks after that. So we're going to go through the series on Jonah. But today we're going to look at chapters 1 and 2. And I'm praying as we read this that God would fulfill what he told the church in Ephesus, that God would give you power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for you. So let's listen to God's word on how much he loves you. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, oh, Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep and the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, to the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. That's a great message just before lunch, right? Wow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would open our eyes to see your love, your truth, your goodness in this passage. And help us to take that to heart, that it would transform us, to make us even more grateful in our praise of your great love that you lavished on us. And also that we might be filled with love for you and for one another. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, 2 days ago was Valentine's Day, and as a part-time counselor, I can tell you that some stories I saw counseling were very sad this week, and some were good. Well, Jonah 1 and 2 is, on the one hand, very sad because the people in it didn't really love God like they should. None of the people that we're reading about. And at the same time, it's a very great love story because of God, because of his unfailing love towards wicked people. If you want to kind of write a bit of an outline for yourself this morning, the first point is this, that you can see what the Bible teaches us about God, that he loved you before you ever loved him. Well, that's a powerful truth. God loved you before you ever loved him. Jonah chapter 1 and 2 describes three different groups. The city of Nineveh talks about the sailors and also the preacher Jonah. And each of these groups fail to love the one true God, as they should. Verse 2, God said that the great city of Nineveh wasn't recognized for being a law and order town. And it was known for its violent crimes and its wickedness. Think of some of the big cities that are even here in America. Or think about Hamas and ISIS on steroids. And by the way, Nineveh wasn't a city in Israel. It was a major city of Assyria, a Jewish enemy to the northeast, which explains why Jonah didn't want them to be saved from God's wrath. He wanted them destroyed. Actually, it would be Assyria that would destroy the northern tribes just a few short centuries later. I think it's safe to conclude that the wicked idol worshippers of Nineveh didn't love the one true God with all their heart. But God loved them first. You might say, how did he love Nineveh? By sending them a preacher. That's how much he loved Nineveh. He sent them a preacher. And God didn't have to. The Lord was not under obligation to show mercy to this very wicked city, but he did by sending them Jonah. The second group that God loved first were the sailors. And once again, God loved sailors who they didn't even know, well, they knew something about Yahweh because they were terrified when they heard his name. But they had their own gods. They had other gods in place of Yahweh, the one true God. Remember the Ten Commandments, have no other gods before me? Well, the sailors had other gods. It wasn't Yahweh first, Yahweh only, Yahweh exclusively. Each of the sailors had their own god. They didn't love Yahweh, and yet Yahweh still loved them. How do we know that? Because God so loved these sailors by letting them live even though they served false gods. He could have snuffed them out. He could have had them not throw Jonah overboard and witness the sea calm. He could have just had them all destroyed, including Jonah. But God, which is amazing, used this opportunity to reveal himself to these idol worshipers. He showed them his one-of-a-kind power and his mercy. It said they were terrified, not by the storm so much, that terrified them, but they were terrified when the sea grew calm. Yahweh is God. And he didn't destroy us. He heard our prayers. Don't have this man's innocent blood be on our hands. This is what we believe you want us to do. Please have mercy on us. And God did. And the third group was Jonah himself. Instead of obeying by preaching against Nineveh, Jonah runs away from the Lord. He heads to a port on the Mediterranean Sea. He's headed for southern Spain. Totally opposite direction of where he's supposed to go. And the Bible makes it clear, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, says the Lord. And Jonah did not love God. He did not obey his maker, his Lord. Are you a sinner who has failed to love the true God? Well, the good news is that God may still lavish his love on you. There is hope. Listen to verses in the Bible about God's love for sinners. 1 John 4:19 says, we love, why? Because he first loved us. Again, in 1 John 4, verse 10 this time, it says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Listen to Romans 5:8. God demonstrates, or he proves his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A few years ago, two of our Oki churches had a parade, one of Genesis Cedar Church had one on Memorial Day, and at that time, Meadow Springs had one in Kentwood on July 4th. We had a Star Wars theme, and had Han Solo and some other, and Chewbacca on the float, and on the side it said, I'm the rebel scum Jesus died for. And we had shirts, and on the back of the shirt had that passage from Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says we're all wicked like Nineveh. We're all sinners like those pagan sailors. We are just as disobedient as the prophet Jonah, and yet God loved us when we were unlovable. The great love that God has shown us is worth praising and thanking for. Isn't that true? Amen? Yeah. Hey, we're being a little Baptist this morning, right? Amen. Well, a second way to measure God's love is to see how he treats those who fear him. In Psalm 103:11, it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. I love astronomy. I don't know if you've ever just pondered the distance between here and the moon, or between here and the sun, or between here and the nearest galaxy. We measure God's love in light years. So far above the earth. It's immeasurable. I want you to ponder what that means for yourself. If his love is higher than the heavens or above the earth for you, if you fear him, well, that means, like Lamentation says, his mercies are new every morning. It's inexhaustible. It's never ending. I'm never going to wake up one morning and find out that God's mercy ran out for me, and that I'm doomed again, that God changed his mind, but that his love is so great, so inexhaustible, but it's only for those who fear him. And in the beginning, the Ninevites didn't fear God. But through Jonah, God would teach that great city to fear the Lord's judgment. He was to proclaim 40 days and the city will be destroyed. Jonah was God's instrument of love to preach a warning so God could show his love to those who would fear him. And God also taught the pagan sailors to fear God's judgment. I'm sure most of those sailors had encountered a storm or two before when they sailed on the Mediterranean Sea. They would never have been kind of spared from that. But it was nothing compared to the violent storm that God had sent them on this occasion. These veteran sailors feared that their ship was going to break apart. And they threw expensive cargo overboard to spare their lives. And when they heard that Jonah was to blame for the storm because he was running away from, not some less God, but from Yahweh, it says these men were terrified. Don't miss this truth. In his love, God taught these sailors to fear his power over the wind and the sea. And the same thing for his disciples in the boat across the Sea of Galilee when they were terrified. Lord, don't you care if we perish? He stands up and he calms the sea and the wind with command. And they say, who is this? And to even calm him and calm the wind and the sea obey him? And God taught Jonah to fear. While the storm was raging on, Jonah told the sailors, it's my fault, throw me overboard. And the way it's written, it almost sounds nonchalant. No big deal. Throw me overboard. He'll be calm. Jonah's word sounds totally unemotional until we get to chapter 2, and that's why I included chapter 2 for you today. Because once Jonah is drowning, once seaweed is wrapped around his head, once he's no longer dealing with the breakers and the waves, and he's submerged, and he realizes, I'm not coming up for another breath of air. He becomes seriously afraid. I would too. Thought of drowning is not a pleasant thought. He said, I feel God, you banished me. My life is ebbing away. This is it. I'm going to be dead. No one can ever know how much God loves them if they never fear his judgment. Until you realize that you truly deserve God's eternal wrath, you won't seek his mercy. You won't cry out to him, and you won't understand how much he loves you. Remember the words of the hymn, Amazing Grace? It's God's grace that taught my heart to fear. Is that great? Maybe we don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about fearing God, fearing his judgment. But it was grace that taught me to fear God. I was raised Roman Catholic in Wisconsin. My parents were both immigrants from Germany. I didn't fear God. I was taught to go and confess my sins to the priest. I was taught that, hey, if you're a good Catholic, you're going to make it to heaven. Well, I had to spend some time in purgatory and flames, but hey, don't worry. Your family, who's still alive, will pray for you. You'll get out of purgatory soon. You'll make it to heaven. And I didn't fear the Lord. When I was 20 years old, I started reading the Bible. Gideon's going to give me a pocket New Testament, a girlfriend in college would give me a Bible. And I read, don't be deceived, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And it had a list of sinners. And I saw myself in that list, and I closed the Bible. I said, I guess I'm not going to heaven. That's God's verdict. And I was a little nonchalant that day, but the next day I was terrified. I said, no, I don't want to go to hell. Is there a second chance for a sinner like me? Grace taught your heart to fear, I hope. And grace, God's grace, his love, can also take away those fears through the cross. That's number 3. Jonah 1 and 2 was written for you and I to see just how great God's love is and towards those who cry out for his mercy. If you fear and then you cry out in response to his mercy, you can find his love. You can find his kindness. You can find forgiveness and eternal life. The city of Nineveh is not in the picture yet, but when Jonah goes and he teaches them about the Lord's judgment, they fear, and then we'll read this, chapter 3, come back in 2 weeks. That's a little commercial for you. But they will cry out to the Lord. But in the passage we have before us, the sailors who feared Yahweh, what did they do? It says they cried out to Yahweh. And he heard them. And they were saved. None of them perished at sea. God heard their cry and pardoned them. The sailors, look at the amazing work of God in their lives. They turned from their false gods. This is a gift from God, right? And they sacrificed to Yahweh and made pledges that he would be their God. It was all a result of God's kindness. There's a beautiful verse in Romans 2:4. It says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God's kindness to those sailors led them to repent for their sins. And the same was true for Jonah. When God taught Jonah to fear drowning, what did Jonah do? Cries out to the Lord. I've sinned against you. I'm dying. I look to you for rescue. And when he cries out to the Lord, what does the Lord do in his mercy and his love? He sends an unheard of thing, a living submarine to save Jonah. My son, Mike, he didn't know I was preaching this message on Jonah this morning. But last week, of all things, just last week, as I was preparing this message for you, Mike sends me an ABC News video of a kayaker being swallowed and spit out by a humpback whale. I have it on my phone in case you're interested later. How timely I thought that was for you. Isn't it amazing that God in his providence allowed this video just to happen? Not coincidentally, because God wanted you to know. He was thinking about you, even when this preacher was bringing a message to you today. But don't miss the providence of God in this text. God planned in love a great fish to be near Jonah to save him before he drowned. It sounds as though the fish was thousands of miles away and we got to deploy it. Oh, hurry up, we got to get there. No, this was in God's timing and God's plan. If you could only see this beautiful thing, here's this rebel prophet, but God loved Jonah even in this midst of disobedience and rebellion. He's going to send the storm. He's going to terrorize Jonah. Jonah's going to be thrown overboard. But God's going to save him with this giant fish. Interesting, about 750 years after Jonah, there was another prophet, another evangelist living in Joppa, the city of Joppa, who had a tough decision to make. That person was the Apostle Peter, who was living at the house of Simon the Tanner in Joppa. And God had commanded Peter to go to the home of a Gentile by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion. And if you know anything about the Jews of that day, they were not permitted into the homes of the Gentiles. They're unclean. There are enemies. And Gentiles, you don't preach the gospel to them. They convert to Judaism, and then you can tell them about the Messiah, and then they could be saved and received into the church. First, they have to become kosher, clean Jews. Then you can tell them about Jesus, about God's love as Savior. Peter didn't want to go. But God thoroughly convinced him, a loving God thoroughly convinced Peter through a vision, cloth coming down like a picnic table cloth, and he said, "What, you eat all these things?" And Peter resists. He says, "I've never eaten any of these unclean animals. I'm a faithful Jew. I'm clean." And he says, "I'm now declaring these things clean." In other words, even the Gentiles are clean. You don't have to be afraid of going and fellowshipping, meeting with them, eating at their home, crossing their threshold. And an angel was sent to Cornelius' household and sent two men to come. And so angels were involved in this. And that was when God lovingly convinced Peter, yes, go. And then when Peter goes and even tells Cornelius, you know, this is unlawful as a Jew for me to enter your home. What do you want from me? Well, we were told you're going to tell us some good news. You're going to give us a message from God. God's love. To hated centurions, to hated Roman Gentiles. The Holy Spirit came upon them when they heard the gospel, because Peter wasn't even going to baptize them with water, because that would have been unheard of unless they first converted to Judaism. And so by the fact that the Holy Spirit allowed them to speak in different languages, he said, hey, they're in. And water's not going to make any difference. It's a sign that the proof is that the Holy Spirit is already inside of them by doing these miraculous signs and wonders. Peter was sent by a loving God to preach. And the church learned that God loved and died for Gentiles too. You see the love story here? I got to tell you one more love story. This is so profound. Just happened this last week. A week ago Sunday, at a fellowship dinner at our church in Jenison, I got a text from my son that his Chinese mother-in-law, we knew she had cancer and had treatments and surgery, but now she had just received the diagnosis that the cancer had spread, metastasized, and they were giving her 1 month to live. And we had talked about possibly asking some of their friends back in Chongqing, China, that might go and visit some from the church. Well, last Sunday, where my son and his wife go to a Chinese church in Minnesota, Minneapolis, there was a young girl from the church said, hey, my parents still live in China. I'll call them and ask if they would visit your mother-in-law. And on Monday, that girl's parents did the unthinkable. They paid for an airplane ticket to go 3 hours within China to Chongqing. They took a 2-hour taxi ride from the airport to the hospital that she was in. And she's a stranger. Why would anybody do that? They told my son's mother-in-law of God's judgment and pointed her to God's love in his son Jesus. And even though she had been resistant to the gospel in the past and had many questions for this couple, she asked at the end, would God forgive a woman who's been a member of the Communist Party? How could he do that? A party that denied the existence of God. She had been a part of that party all of her life. And the husband shared his testimony and assured her of God's mercy. And she believed and was baptized right there in the hospital. And even that was a risk, didn't it? There was an aunt in the hospital, an aunt and uncle, and also a husband. And the aunt, who witnessed all this, asked this Christian couple, why did you do this for my sister? She's a stranger to you. You don't know her. And who paid for you to do this? To fly all the way over here? They actually brought some in their luggage, some fruit and other good things to eat for them in the hospital, those who were waiting to see how things were going and trying to minister to the woman. And this Christian couple said, it's because God freely loved us. And now we want to freely want to love others in his name. We want them to know God's love as we have come to know his love. Brothers and sisters, God still sends messengers of his great love and forgiveness for sinners today. Yeah, sometimes it's the people that you might not think deserve God's love. Maybe they're somewhat of an enemy to you. Maybe they're unlovable, unlikable. Maybe they leave a bad taste in your mouth. They're like that city of Nineveh. They're wicked and violent. They don't deserve the gospel. But how about imitating the compassion that God himself had in this story? This true account, this history. Do you believe the gospel yourself? Do you believe that you are unlovable and saved from eternity of hell? Are your feet eager to bring his message to people, just like Jonah was called to do? But let's pray. Father, we need your help. Because apart from you pouring and filling our hearts in with your love, we become fearful of other people. We're afraid to tell them about the gospel. But Lord, we pray that your love in our hearts would cast out any fear we would have. And if you're what man could do to us, or if they would reject us, that we would take the risk because of your great love and what you could do for sinners. Well, you could rescue them and spare them from eternity of being banished. So, Father, use us. We have this tremendous treasure in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make us your ambassadors, that in case like my son and his wife, they couldn't go because of pregnancy and other things, but Lord, send someone else. Lord, we are able to pray and ask you, Lord, send more workers into the harvest field. Save our lost loved ones that many of us agonize over. We have maybe parents or grandparents or children or grandchildren who are lost and on their way to hell. And Lord, unless you cause their hearts to fear you and unless you relieve that fear, the gospel of Jesus Christ, him who crucified, his blood shed in their place. There is no hope. Jesus, you are the only name given under heaven by which men must be saved. So hear our prayers, Jesus. We pray that the gospel will be something that we are eager to do, and you will say about us that new life has beautiful feet that bring good news, that announces peace to those who are perishing. Thank you that you have lavished your love on us even before the world began. You chose us to be in Christ, to receive this good gift, this salvation, this mercy. So we are grateful today. We praise you for your love in Jesus' name.